Welcome to Phenomenal Woman. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland. Join me as we share the success strategies of phenomenal women achieving extraordinary success around the globe. From the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, this is Real Talk by Real Women. We share with you the highs and lows of their journey and give you honest insight on how you can navigate same with confidence, integrity, and gain a little inspiration. As a leadership strategist, executive coach, and business consultant, I have the pleasure of working with organizations and individuals, helping them to turn their goals into success. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Phenomenal Woman. I'm always excited that you take some time out of your busy schedule to spend some time listening to the interviews with the great women we interview. You know, it just wouldn't be the same without you. Now, this week is no exception, and I'm in conversation with Maku Williams. Maku is a thought leader and author in the field of technology integration, empowering people to transform their lives. She has a background spanning over 20 years of experience in graphic design, visual arts, technology, education. The clients range from K-12, educators, and corporate professionals. She is the founder and CEO of iLab Global Inc. Founded in 2014, iLab Global is a technology integration training company that publishes a series of books in information communication technology. In addition to leading workshops and training sessions, Maku has consulted with the Ministry of Education in Antigua and partners with corporate entities to develop strategies for the use of technology in the classroom and workplace. Born in New York, Maku's formative years were spent with her family in Sweets Village, Antigua, where she was educated in New York. She obtained her bachelor's from SNUY Empire College and received her master's from Columbia University in the Department of Communications, Media and Learning Technologies Design. Maku, welcome to this week's edition of Phenomenal Woman. So I'd like for you to kick off the show by telling us a little bit more about yourself and where you come from.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me, Janice. I currently live in Antigua, but I was born in the U.S. I like to say I was born in the U.S. and made in Antigua. I spent my formative years here in Antigua and then traveled to the U.S. for majority of my education. So I am an artist primarily. That's where I start my entire I think the genesis of everything that I do comes from being an artist and a young woman that grew up in the Caribbean. I have a passion for education, for a bit, I would say, for technology, quite a bit for technology, and just essentially seeing people grow and develop. I feel like we're here on Earth to develop, to grow, and to learn, actually. And so each and every day, we should learn something new, but one of the things that I do every year on my birthday is that I write down what I've learned this year and what I hope to learn going forward. And then I assess if I've actually learned what I should have learned last year. And if not, I roll it over. But I try my best to every year progress and become a better person.
So how you talking? You talked about being creative and artistry, and then you talk about technology. How do the two combine?
Well, you know, there's a certain amount of creativity that goes into technology and learning how to use technology. Okay. So I think one of the main themes is, instead of just being a consumer of technology products and software, we should be a part of creating those softwares. And as a technologist or anyone who's interested in technology, the opportunity is there to look at the problems that you have in your society or in your community and figure out how you can apply technology to solving that problem, especially because this is the age of technology, digital age. We're in a new dispensation. I like to always reference the fact that when we were in the industrial age and the agricultural age, the ministries of education would go where actually the organizations and the businesses would go to the ministries of education and say, please teach them this because we need people who can grow carrots, or please teach them this because we need people who can build our cars, and we need people who can type. And so considering that we have transformed or we have progressed into the age of technology, the digital age, these businesses are now going to the ministries of education and saying, please teach our students how to write code, how to create products, not just how to use them or to tell us what a mouse is, but we'd like them to look at how to apply their creativity to solving a problem within their community, utilizing technology so that it can impact us both nationally and globally.
Okay. I don't want to deviate too much off our questions, but this is an interesting topic because there's a big focus on STEM and then by extension STEAM industries and also encouraging women into those industries. But then compounded for me with the fact that we're maybe in the Caribbean where we're, from what I can see, we're not as advanced as maybe the US or the UK. So how do you go about introducing that into maybe an environment such as Antigua?
Fantastic question. I mean, it has been a journey. It's still a journey. STEM to STEAM, yes. So there was even a progression in the first world where they recognized that, yes, the arts is still important to the children. We can't just completely eliminate that. And in every... in every culture, there's that sort of understanding and progression. And if we could, I think, capture that in Antigua or capture that in this region, we would have a fantastic opportunity. Perhaps what I'd like to call another windrush of, right. of people with the skills or, you know, who can garner those skills and apply it outside, yeah. just like the 60s, in fact, in the United States, when my mother went to the U.S. Yeah. and there were nurses and there were doctors who came out of that. We have the opportunity now to capture this moment, to capture this age for young people in our countries and in this region to go out and to gain the education here prior to leaving in order to be a part of the global economy.
Right.
I approach it through the concept of diffusion of innovations. Which is my favorite book, one of my favorite books. Basically, change is going to happen. It's inevitable. The question is, how long will it take for that change
right.
to happen?
Right.
And diffusion of innovation requires three main things, and that's the idea. So the idea that we need to apply technology to educational systems, to our businesses. We need the idea. We need communication about that idea, a convergence, a back and forth communication of how does this work? How do you like it? How can we tweak it? We know we need to use it. And then we need to do this over time. And with those three main ingredients, change happens.
Right.
And within that, we need to understand the communication channels. So who do I need to talk to about this? How will that champion help to... help to support people within their local communities to understand, or within their departments or within their ministries to understand that this is important. Right. So that's how I approach technology and the need for the change. It's through understanding those channels of communications,
yeah.
developing the communication for each of those stakeholders so that they realize the importance to them, and then taking a look at what their needs are,
yeah.
what their difficulties are, and supporting them with the transformation. And so that's how I've been doing it. And I think it has worked to some degree.
Okay.
At this point, I need to figure out, really, really tweak who the champions are.
Right.
And get them on board. And the conversation needs to perhaps be happening a bit faster. So
yeah.
that there's not well. And so that's been my approach. And in doing so, over the last 5 to 7 years, I've written 7 books for information technology that are in some of the schools here
okay.
in Antigua. And then having further conversations, I've created an after-school program where students learn how to write computer programs.
Wow.
And so all of those things have been, they have been approved by the Ministry of
yeah.
Education and supported and endorsed by the Ministry of Education. In addition to that, in terms of the programs that I've introduced being systemic, there was then a systemic technology integration training series for educators, which included not only the teachers, but also the principals,
okay.
the education officers, and the administrative branch of the Ministry of Education. We've gotten so far to the teachers, the principals, and the education officers. And I think, you know, you have to have the entire ecosystem involved in order for it to take hold. And there've been a few lulls in that communication, but you can rest assured that iLab Global, McCoo Williams, were building the strategic plan to bring everyone together so that we understand that it's important for our generation, for our future generation. I think that's probably one of the key messages. It's think generationally.
Right.
Need to be thinking generationally. And I just want to add here, actually, that you know, it was during the Ebola crisis that I looked at this and I said to myself, Lord, you know, we need to understand that, you know, instead of looking outward for the assistance, we've got to look inward. We've got to create our own serum. So we had, you know, masses of Africans going, give us a serum. We need a help, you know, we need the antidote. We've got to create our own antidote. We can't look to, you know, world organizations and NGOs alone.
Yes.
Within our own environment, we have innovators, we have creative people, we have intelligent people, we have people who've gone abroad to study and come back and sometimes leave again. And that's where the brain drain happens. But we need to create our own serum. We have to be our own saviors. So these are the conversations that I try to have. And, you know, as a change agent, I'd like to see more champions come on board and create the relationships with them that need to be created in order for them to understand their role in transforming and growing the ecosystem.
And I love that, having the serum, you know, that just tells, that just says to me, you know, this will heal, this will, you know, provide, as you said, an antidote. But through all that, McCoo, what has been the most satisfying challenge? Because I know that hasn't come without its challenges. But what's been the most satisfying one you've overcome?
The most satisfying challenge within my career, then? Is that the question?
Okay. Yeah, that we can take career.
Yeah, let's go with that one. The most satisfying challenge, and of course, there's still challenges, as we've just agreed. It is seeing some of those partnerships of trust.
Yeah.
Built.
Okay.
That has been the most satisfying part. Understanding that in order for change to occur, it is not just based on your idea or your methodology, it's really based on relationship and building partnerships of trust. So with the systemic technology integration series, training series, for example, funding partners came in, and we've had some ups and downs, and not with iLab in particular, but with everyone, all the stakeholders meeting their agreement. But we have been consistent with them enough to say, whatever it is that you need and you require, at any point, we will fulfill our portion, our part of the agreement. And so we've built such a trust with them that, you know, other initiatives that they're planning, they want us to be on board in other countries. So that's the exciting part, building the partnerships and trust. And it's a challenge because you're dealing with people with different needs, and it's really understanding their needs and how you can support them and meet those needs.
Yeah, excellent. So how do you deal with these challenges when they don't quite go to plan? How does that impact your confidence, and how do you rebound from it?
Yeah, definitely. It does. I typically rely on my history.
Right.
I stand on the shoulders of those who came before me.
Okay.
I look at their strength. I rely, my grandmother, for example, Irene B. Williams, she was a headmaster here, and there's a school named after her in Antigua. She was a woman ahead of her time. First of all, the B in her name is her maiden name, Benjamin. So there you have it. This is a woman that rode a horse in the village. This is a woman that played cricket with some of the best cricketers in Antigua, came to Sweets Village, and So I rely on my history. I drove back and forth with my grandfather, who was one of those ministers in the country working towards social justice for people. And so whenever I sort of meet a point where it's not working or it's not going through, I ask myself then as well, is this something you should be doing? But I look back at the strength of where I came from, and then I readdress it. And I said, well, maybe not, you know. Maybe there's something else that I can look at, but it doesn't change who I am, and it doesn't change maybe for a moment it hits my confidence, but within the next moment I can say, you know what, I've done my best and I will continue along the path that I should. I do some soul searching, do some meditating. I might go to the beach, spend some time alone, you know, spend some time with family, have my children in particular.
Yeah.
And just sort of, you know, from there.
Yeah. But I mean, it doesn't hurt to reflect, as you said, just take some time out. The good thing about it is that you're not seeing it as maybe as a failure, it's a challenge to be overcome. I just need to take a step back to see what's the best course of action to take going forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do I see it as a failure? I see it as a challenge to be overcome.
Right.
And in addition, you know, and this is going to be a little bit unorthodox in terms of the way that I think about these things. I do feel that before we come to this earth, right?
Yeah.
I sit with the creator of the universe and the creator says to me, this is your life and these are the choices you're going to have. And I go, yes, I'm going to have a challenge there. Okay. This obstacle will occur, that and so and such. And I just sort of, I recognize that I've made a choice.
Right.
To be a part of it.
Yeah.
And to participate. And so I put my best foot forward knowing that. And I also take the lessons from it.
Excellent. 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 Because that's the thing. I mean, to me, that's always the plan B. Is, you know, if you haven't succeeded, your plan B is what have you learned? So, Maku, with all that, what has been your biggest career triumph?
Triumph?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Well, I would say having started this business has been a big triumph, in fact, considering all of the steps to get here.
Right.
We've actually only had a physical location for the last less than a year, so last October.
Okay.
Yeah, we opened a physical location. Over the last, 3 years prior to that, we've been running after school programs at Abbott, which is a technology college here, and a number of secondary schools, like Grammar School, Princess Margaret, St. Anthony, Island Academy, and so Antigua Girls High.
Yeah.
And so getting a physical location is definitely been a triumph, and it's transforming the business as well. So there's as well a stronger emphasis on corporate training and the depth of training rather than just, you know, a broad study of certain subjects such as Microsoft Office and Cisco networking systems. So within the last year as well, we've become a certified Cisco Networking Academy.
Okay.
As well as a Microsoft Imagine Academy. And so adding those two products gives us an opportunity to offer students who are just leaving school the chance to become certified before they leave the island in order to get a better job while they're in college.
Yeah.
Instead of working at McDonald's or KFC or a bookstore, for example, they could be a certified technician in this field and earn substantially more than they would have otherwise. One of our goals, I would say, just to add to that, is to begin a program in the last 2 years of high school so that when they graduate, they already have those skills. One of the funding agents that supports the technology training for teachers in the United States has a program such as this.
Okay.
And so if we look at what's happening globally
to
our counterparts and to our and to students the same within the same bracket as ours, they're starting to learn how to create computer programs from kindergarten, as young as kindergarten.
Yeah.
And as of 2014, the UK instituted an all-school computational thinking curriculum, where everyone has to learn to code. And so they transformed the entire system. All the teachers had to gain these skills in order to meet the demands of Google, Microsoft, Intel, yes. and pretty much every company in the world who realizes that technology is impacting their business. So it would be wonderful to see us begin to institute some of these same programs here in not only Antigua, but within the region, so that our students, our children are as prepared yes. as their counterparts internationally.
Excellent, excellent. Well done on that. Well done, well done. So, but if you could go back, Maku, and change one thing, just one, what would it be and why?
You know, to be honest, Janice, I wouldn't change anything. I would not change anything because, as I said, I honestly believe that I sat with the creator of the universe before I got here.
Yeah.
And had a pretty good look at the outlay, all of it, the tears, yeah. the snots, the bumps and the bruises.
Keeping it real.
And everything that has happened in my life has made me who I am right now. And I'm not, you know, I am convinced of that. And I believe that all of those lessons, it's a preparation for yeah. what's to come. And it also provides a wonderful example to my children.
Yes.
So again, as I look back at my ancestors and the strength and the legacy that they've given yeah. me, I know that every experience that I have with my children as well, and they see me go through, they see me yes. get up at 3 a.m. in the morning and work and, you know, and get frustrated at times with them and otherwise. And at the same time, it provides that work ethic that they need yeah. to see.
Very
and that will give them the strength to do what they need to do in their lives. So I wouldn't change a thing. I wouldn't change nothing.
Great. So how do you balance managing your family and the business? How do you maintain to make sure you're, and you, to be honest, because, you know, as women, we sometimes forget to put ourselves as important, because we are the foundation of both of those things. So how do you get create some sort of balance? I can't say maintain.
Yeah,
that was the experience. But how do yeah. you create the illusion of balance?
Yes, that's right. I take the time to at least get my nails and my toes done on yeah. a regular basis.
Yeah, yeah.
And my eyebrows. I kind of.
A girl after my own heart.
Yes, those are keys. Those are keys. That's the framework to yes. you know. Meditation. I meditate on a regular basis. I've meditated for the last 6 years or so. I try my best to juice every day.
Right.
I don't always.
Right.
I also. Try my best to exercise. Okay. Yoga has always been a tremendous support for me.
Right.
So that's pretty much it. And you know, spending those leisurely moments on the beach as well would be another key.
So Maku, share with us a success quote or a mantra that you use and why it's meaningful for you.
A success quote or mantra. Well, this one has guided me quite a bit. It's William B. Yeats. He said, "With dreams begins great responsibility," mm-hmm. and so that is my support and success quote. So, with every idea that I have, I know that I have a responsibility to fulfill it. Kind of like the gifts that you get, so that, you know, you multiply.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the driving quote for me.
Excellent.
And has been, I think, every single quote that I used for every single university application, and from bachelor's to the master's to if I ever decide to go on, I'll use the same one because it's what's carrying me today.
Excellent, yeah. Excellent. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, as they say. So has there been a time where you've been assertive or confident? Because I think some of the, I would hazard a guess that some of the relationships you've had to build or some of the paths you've had to take have made you have to be maybe a little more assertive than some people, I suppose, I say some people, than people imagine. But how do you, but that can also be misconstrued. I know I've certainly had to deal with it as being bossy. So how do you deal with that when it raises its head?
Mm-hmm.
Strong women, strong women always bring that out.
Yeah, I bet. Well, I've certainly come in contact with that that idea. I won't mention what's been said.
Yeah.
it's not too difficult to even share that with you. But I reflect internally, and I think to myself, you know, honestly, I first say to myself, if you were a man, would that be an issue?
Yes.
I ask myself that. And then I have to answer honestly. And generally the answer is no, it wouldn't be an issue. I would never be questioned. And so I proceed. I continue to proceed. But I have learned to be a bit more diplomatic in my approach. And so maybe that means that I have to curtail a bit in order for my message to come across. Whether that's good or bad, I've certainly learned to deal with other people's concepts of my leadership ability, or right. leadership rather, yeah. By adding a pleasant smile to it, a good morning, a how are you, or yeah. a reference back to something that we may have discussed before in order to soften it right. and to progress forward. Yeah, that's pretty much how I've dealt with it. There are times I've thrown on a skirt just to say, you know what, if I show up in pants, I'm going to freak out. So, but I just, you know, I just keep going.
Yeah.
I keep going. And I recognize that sometimes you have to put kid gloves on.
Yes. You know. Yes. Then times you have to stroke a little bit of ego sometimes. But I think it's almost keeping your eye on the prize.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes, yeah, I can empathize there. I can empathize. So Miku, what has been a book that's influenced you throughout your career journey? And what have you, why has it been significant?
Again, I refer back to the diffusion of innovations.
Okay.
And in fact, I have it here. It's a bit like the Bible, actually. Everett Rogers. I keep it at the office, you know, and the Art of War.
Right. Right.
So, you know, and so those two have guided me, I think, throughout my entire career. Well. More towards the latter part, Diffusions of Innovation, but okay. at the very beginning, I've been reading The Art of War for a number of years. I'd like to throw in Women Who Run with Wolves, but, you know.
So thank you. So I know you said you wouldn't change anything, which is great, if you go back, but what advice would you give to your teenage self?
To my teenage self,
yeah,
I would say, what would I say to my teenage self? Oh, yes, I think I would say, you know, let's see. I would say listen to your passion, listen to your dream, to your inner core, and follow that. Let it be your guide. I would say that.
Excellent. Simple. Yeah. Won't put you wrong. Won't steer you wrong. And I know you talked about legacy and your forefathers as being, you know, someone you refer back to. But if you could choose your own mentor, who would it be and why?
Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah's always highly, highly on the list. Why Oprah?
Because, you know, I want to say despite her success and her wealth, she seems to be a really down-to-earth passionate person for understanding yourself.
Yes.
For being mindful, for loving yourself, and for also being philanthropic.
Yeah.
And caring about others. So for that reason, I would definitely take advice from Oprah and you know.
Yeah, I think I would too. So, you know.
Yeah. That was an easy one.
Yeah. So what have been the three things you've learned about yourself during your career, Miku?
I've learned that I'm strong, of course. Yeah. I've learned that I can be incredibly fortunate despite my procrastination.
Okay.
And I've learned that I have the ability to convey a message and to accomplish the goal behind that message.
Excellent. Excellent. So yeah. Why fortunate? Why do you say you've been fortunate?
Well, I say I've been fortunate despite my procrastination. I say that because a number of goals that I've set out to accomplish, I have.
Right.
If I come up with an idea for something, I generally get to that goal, get to the end point. As I said, I'm an artist. I have an 11-foot mural in a train station in New York City. And it has been there for about 18 years now.
Okay.
I had a cafe in the United States, in New York as well, called Sweets Village, after the village I grew up here in Sweets, just down from the Brooklyn Museum. There was a write-up in the New York Times about it. It was pretty popular on Thursday. I decided to shift gears and go back and get my master's. I chose to apply to Columbia University. I was accepted. I got in. I mean, I was in another graduate program at the time and sort of shifted.
Right.
To get that educational component that I felt I needed in order to accomplish some of these goals. I decided to write the books, and I wrote the books. I sat down. I woke up 3 a.m. I actually did the layout myself, and I worked as a desktop publisher in New York for some time, so therefore I had the skill to execute and design the book. So therein lies that connection that I'm talking about from one thing to another, where every experience that we have builds upon the next experience. And so here I am in a physical location, iLab Global. It was a dream I had, and I'm living and executing it and continuously developing that dream. And I have some other, you know, parts that are to come. And so for that reason, I would say that I'm fortunate to have the strength and the courage to dream,
right,
to develop a vision, and then apply the necessary action, take the responsibility on to then follow through. And I think, you know, a lot of people, or some people, are limited by their beliefs or their thoughts, but our thoughts do create our future and our reality. And so I'm fortunate to know that, to understand that. And, you know, I'm still working on my millions as it relates to that. But I recognize that we are powerful beings. We're powerful individuals, and we have the opportunity to change things and make things better. And so therefore,
Lovely answer. Thank you for that. So, but Miku, what would you say are your imperfections, and how do you embrace them?
Number one is that procrastination.
I knew that was going to come up.
No, even with procrastination, then I accomplish the goal, and so therefore I procrastinate. I continue to do it. That alone, I'm so over it. I'm going to, that's on my list this year. Into 2019, I really want to get rid of that piece. And I know some might say, if it's working for you, why change it? It's not working.
Right.
As you get old, you just want to, like, you know, you just, everything to sort of be in order. So that would be one. Sorry, what was the question again?
What would you say your imperfections and how do you embrace them?
Yes, the procrastination piece is one. How do I embrace them? I tend to take on quite a bit when it comes to accomplishing my goals. And in terms of how I've tried to embrace that, I also recognize that I'm a global thinker.
Right.
And so organizing my thoughts is critical. So that's how I embrace it. I strive to find tools, at this point, digital tools, to support the ideas that I have and the goals that I have, the tasks that I need to complete in order to accomplish those goals and organizing them.
Yeah.
So that would be another. And finally, let's see. I can't think of anything else right now.
I didn't need three. See, your two's good. Your two's good.
Okay.
So you talked about being a global thinker. Just explain to our listeners what that looks like.
Okay, well, in terms of my business, there are about three components to what iLab Global offers. And there are also three specific demographics
right.
for those products. So when I consider technology integration in Antigua, I don't only think about the seven books at the primary level. I think
right.
systemically. I think about the secondary school. I think yeah. about the Ministry of Education and those who work within that system and organization. And then additionally on the corporate level.
Okay.
So when I think about technology integration, it is more systemic and holistic right. in terms of the view. And then just to sort of focus in on one aspect of that, within the Ministry of Education, you can train teachers yeah. every day. You can train them to use the tools. However, if they don't have the other components necessary to support the use of it in the classroom, it's difficult. So I look at how to support the infrastructure as well, how to support their leaders, that being yeah. the principal,
yeah.
who then need to understand the needs of the teachers and support them,
right.
how to support the education officers, and yeah. all the way from the Minister of Education. If they don't understand the needs of the primary person on yeah. the ground, then no one will ever know that they need to service those computers that yeah. the students are using yes. and it never happens. Yes. So that's yes. what I mean about thinking globally.
Excellent.
In at least at that level.
Okay, thank you. Thank yeah. you for that. So last couple of questions. What's your definition of success?
Well, my definition of success right now at this point yes. in my life, my daughter, eldest daughter, who is about to graduate Form 5, my definition of success is supporting her in her goals and her dreams. She is interested in music, and
right.
she's a fantastic singer. She performed at a pre-FET event called Soothe here.
Right.
She's 16 years old, so we've been talking about this for years. And
yes.
last, when she was 15, and I went to the party, and of course she didn't, I went, wow. She would be fantastic on this stage. And she'd been singing bits and bits. And I said, well, you know what? If that's what you want to do, then you have to do it. So you can't tell me that you're not going to do it. Or if you're not, just don't do it. You
right.
don't have this discussion anymore.
Yeah.
She took on the challenge and she has sung there. She has started doing a few little gigs at the Sugar Ridge is coming up. There's a Bliss
yes.
show coming up.
Yeah.
She's done some stuff at Blue Waters. So one of my uncles, he has a band. And so I said, you know, he performs at this place,
right.
Blue Waters, Curtain Bluff, blah, blah, blah. If you want to do it, then you've
yeah.
got to approach it that way. In addition, you've got to get some background in terms of
Excellent.
Music management and business and every other aspect. And I'll support you 100%.
Yeah.
So to me, that's my definition of success is ensuring that my children pursue their goals. They're empathetic and loving, not just to themselves,
yeah.
but to each other and to others around them. So that is my crowning success, I would
Excellent.
Say. And I have three children. So.
Yes. What ages?
So there's 16.
Yeah.
8 and 12.
Okay. Okay. So nice ages. All the fun. Yeah. All the fun's to come yet.
It's so much fun right now. I think maybe that's my biggest success today is that we had my eldest daughter and I had breakfast together.
Right.
We had a lovely breakfast together prior to one of her last exams at the CXC level. And it was so
excellent.
The fun is so I'm happy that we're still talking.
Yeah. So lastly, Miku, what does it mean to you to be your own hero?
To be my own hero means to take the time out to nurture myself, particularly when I'm feeling stressed, create my own serum, my own antidote to, the pressures of life, and honoring that, and being gentle with myself.
Yes.
That's one of the things that I have developed, over, I would say, the last, maybe 7 years, and that's just sort of being gentle with my own growth and my own development and not being hard on myself. And maybe it has to do with my children too, because there's a certain level of coaching that you have to do, or a coach that you have to be for them, and a champion. And so I think it's important for women, for us as women, especially strong women, to be that coach for ourselves.
It's okay to do that, just to stop and just, like you say, do a little self-coaching and then put your best foot forward.
Yeah.
So Miku, that was my last question. So it's been lovely talking to you, but if people want to get in touch, how can they do that?
I can be reached at ilabglobal.com. I can be reached at Instagram at iLab Global, as well as Facebook at Facebook iLab Global. I can also be reached at mako@iLabGlobal.com. And anything iLab Global, you can reach me. Just Google it and give me a call. The number here is 268-783-3000, as well as 268-462-iLab.
Fabulous. I'll be sure to put all the contacts in the show notes. So thank you very much for your time this afternoon. It's been a delight having this conversation.
A pleasure. And it's wonderful to meet you and to know that you are a phenomenal woman as well, Janice. I didn't recognize that you'd been the CEO of Digicel. I just want to add that in and, would have contacted you sooner when you were, there. But anyway. It's fantastic to meet you, and thank you for reaching out.
You're welcome.
You've actually made me feel really phenomenal.
Excellent.
And I'm happy I'm doing what I'm doing here now.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
Brilliant.
Even more.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Miku. It's always interesting to understand the impact of ICTs are going to have on not just our current generation, but on generations to come. So as ever, it's always a delight to, as I said, have you here listening to Phenomenal Woman. And if you could share, rate, review, and subscribe the podcast on iTunes, that would be fantastic. Now, last thing I want you to do is head over to my Facebook page, I Am Janice Sutherland, as I want us to be able to stay connected. This is where I post information, whether it's about a new episode or about the events and activities that I have planned over the next few months. I'm really excited about the things that are going to be happening over the next few months, and I want to be able to keep in touch with you. And I might not always be able to tell you the information on the podcast. So there'll be exclusivity to some information on my Facebook page. So head on over to I Am Janice Sutherland. I hope you have enjoyed this week's edition. And as ever, be fearless, be bold, be phenomenal, be you. Look forward to speaking to you next time.